Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, imagine moving into a house where the footsteps you hear aren't your own, and the voices that call your name aren't from anyone living.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, that it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want access to the bonus material and all that, we got it for you on Apple Podcasts, which you can now access on any device. Doesn't even have to be Apple anymore to get Apple Podcasts. Of course, we're on Spotify and every place you get podcasts. But if you want the bonus stuff, it's on Apple Podcasts there or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, as we're recording this, it's the mid part of September, and you and I have discussed many times about how some of the Halloween stuff came out maybe a little too early, even though it excited me.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I would say, 75% of my Halloween decor up outside.
Nice.
Everything's up inside. The outside is getting there. I've got some spider webs to put up, some giant Reaper up. He's ready to go with his cauldron and his fire. I've got the skeleton crawling out of the ground. I've got the lights. I've got all that kind of stuff. So I'm ready to go. And the thing is, it's really warm here. It's like near 90 degrees today.
Yeah. That's why I haven't put anything up outside yet, because every year I put it up and it's so hot. And I'm like, this doesn't even feel like fall. I'm waiting for a cool day, but I may be waiting quite a while for that though. So I don't know. I got the inside. I basically have Martha Stewarted the inside of the house for fall.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
It's not spooky. It's just, it's like, you know, fall leaves and, you know, like the bouquets and all that sort of shit. So
pumpkins and gourds.
Yes.
So basically it could stick around till Thanksgiving if you wanted.
It's harvest. It's autumn. But I haven't gotten out any of the spooky things yet. I want to. I just don't know where, if I'm going to put them in my house this year or go mainly more outdoors. I thought about maybe doing more spooky stuff downstairs in the basement. I don't know. I just got to get the stuff out and start putting it around. I got so many skeletons and stuff. I think it'd be fun to have those just like at the dining table, like all there. And then even like have them that way at Christmas too. Just put a Santa hat on them and just let the creepiness continue.
And then you'll always have a family, Tony, no matter what, no matter if you ever find love again, you'll have your own family there.
Well, the thing is, I've met a girl now and we've been dating now for quite a while. It's my girlfriend.
Okay.
And she's not freaked out by these things. I've even like, cause there literally is a closet in my basement where you open the door, it's underneath the stairs and it's just brimmed full with skeletons. It's skeleton after skeleton after skeleton, like all lying on each other because that's the only place I could find to put them. And I said, look, I literally have a skeleton of closets or a closet of skeletons. And she hasn't run away yet. So
yet. That's the word. Yeah. The word is yet. So I'm just telling you, Tony, knowing you and loving you like I do.
Yeah.
Just have that backup skeleton family ready.
That's all I need. At the end of the day, it'll be.
Yes.
My daughter will be like, hey, who's coming over for Thanksgiving? Well, all these people, look at, they're all. And I just start talking to them normally. Hey, pass the yams. Like, Dad, they're plastic. Hey, they're not plastic to you or to me. And it would be great. It would be, you know, probably require a lot of years of therapy later in life for her. But it would be a Thanksgiving to remember.
I think she's probably on her way to therapy anyway. And then
she's already there.
You're like a skeleton turkey. That would be great. It would be great.
That would be fun. I like that idea. Huh. All right. Well, goals. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi.
So what I want to share with you guys now is my childhood house. I remember the first day we actually moved in, my mom and my stepdad, they never really even told us that we were moving, I just kind of said, get in the car and I'm going to go for a surprise. And they took us to this house. I remember I was young. I was six. And I remember going in there and seeing everything, and it looked so new and fresh, and everything was fine, you know. And for the next couple years, 2-3 years, till I was about 8, right around when I started to see that lady, that's when, like, things started to happen. I remember it started with footsteps. At first, we would hear footsteps throughout the house on the ceiling, and it actually sounded like it was moving. You can actually follow it. You could hear it make its way towards, you know, the other side of the house. And I remember if I would follow it, but for some reason, it never happened when my stepdad was there. Being young and scared, we didn't want to. But my mom and, as you know, we're all there. She would peek into the attic and see if anyone was there. Another time that it was happening, my mom told us to run outside. This was all during the day too. She told us to run outside and look at the roof. It was a one-story house. So I went to the front. My brother went to the back of the house to see, look on the roof and see if somebody was walking around. But nobody was there, and there was still walking going on inside. My mom and my sister were inside. So we knew it wasn't somebody walking on the roof. And you would hear sometimes what sounded like a loud bang in the attic and dragging. It sounded like something was being dragged. That was normal as far as the walking on the roof or the ceiling, whatever it was. And things just kind of started to progress. And then we would start to hear voices. I would hear my brother's, or I mean, my mom's voice. So me and my brother would be sitting there playing the game. My sister was sitting there reading her book. And we would hear our names get called. We hear, Richard, Jesse, come here now. I mean, just like that, loud. And it sounded just like my mom. I remember looking back at my sister, and me and my brother kind of thinking we were in trouble. My sister's sitting there with a smirk on her face. She liked to see us get in trouble. So anyways, me and my brother got up, went to the room. Mind you, where we heard it right where we were at. My mom was all the way in her room, was just kind of on the other side of the house. Anyway, so we go anyways, and, you know, go to my mom. She's sitting there reading her book too. And we're like, what, Mom? She's like, I didn't call you. And we're like, Mom, yes, you did. You called us. You know, we both heard you. And she's like, I did not call you guys. What do you guys want? You know, we would tell her, Mom, we were pleading with her, telling her, yes, you called us. When we were nagging at her so much that, you know, she would get mad. She's like, you know, she would just tell us to go, you know. That would happen a lot. So my mom even heard it a few times. One time she had went to go get groceries, came back. We were all at school. She goes in the house, starts putting the groceries away, and she hears down the hallway in one of the rooms, you know, Mom. She said it sounded like my brother. And she's like, what? Nothing. So she just kept putting stuff away. And as she was putting stuff away, it kind of started to register, like, wait. She's like, you know, he's supposed to be in school. And she hears it again, you know, Mom. At that point, for her, it had clicked, you know, he's supposed to be at school. And then she said that she heard it right next to her. When she heard it right next to her, she literally left everything right there and walked outside and waited for my stepdad to get there. But that was like stuff that would happen a lot. We had a lot of people that would come and stay with us, you know, it was family, relatives. But every single family that went in there, they all experienced something. A lot of times too, the washer would turn on, the dishwasher would turn on. Now those, you know, you can say electrical, you know, some type of electrical surge or something, you know. But along with that, the faucet would turn on. And this would all happen, you know, right in front of us. You know, we didn't know what it was. We knew something was up, but it was kind of just something that we lived with. We've had pastors come to the house and to, you know, bless the house to see, you know, maybe that would help. there were times where my mom, you know, her and my stepdad, they would, you know, get in an argument, and my mom would go to the back living room because we had two different living rooms. She'd go to the back one and sit there and smoke. For some reason, my mom didn't mind the dark. And so she was sitting there in the dark, you know, just kind of smoking her cigarette. And she heard walking from the door, from the outside, from the door that goes to the outside, walking, you know, towards her. And as it was getting closer, she immediately reached over and turned on the light, and she didn't see anybody there. That was like, I don't know if she took it as a sign or what, but she went back and, you know, her and my stepdad made amends. There was always, too, you know, in the middle of the night, as I said, you know, it was always like either pitch black or sometimes you'd have a little bit of the moonlight coming in. But it was like always like a shadow. It always felt like there was like a shadowy figure always present there. You know, maybe mind playing tricks on you. I don't know. But it always seemed like there was some type of shadowy figure there. My one of the families that came in, they had these little toy cars, you know, little ones that you kind of put together yourself, and you have them up like for display. And the mom, she was in her room. She noticed that the car was moving back and forth. She thought that was weird, you know, so she got a little scared and went out and told my mom about it. My mom went back in there and just to look, and, you know, a car's not going to go back and forth. Just, there were also times, so it was two times where they actually, I don't know, I guess you can call them spirits, ghosts, whatever. They made themselves look like my tía, which is my aunt. And I guess that's for another story. But I'll leave these voicemails, you know, hopefully frequently as I remember. But yeah, well, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on that?
Well, the whole thing sounds like a movie, even like, you know, moving but not telling the kids, hey, let's go for a car ride or something special. And then all of a sudden you're moved. That's odd. What I like about it is like, he's like, well, the dishwasher, you know, started on its own, but you could say electrical, blah, blah, blah. Like they're looking for other reasons other than ghosts for this stuff happening. But it certainly sounds like they had plenty of activity going on in that house. Nothing malicious, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah.
Just sounds like something was there. And it sounds like something was trying to interact with them.
It does. It does. And I can see where you walk away from that going, what the hell was that? But there was something in that house that clearly made an impact.
Yeah. And also, you know, when you hear things calling your name and it sounds like something else, that's always a little odd because you don't know if they're just trying to communicate or if they're trying to mimic somebody specifically to mess with your mind. But sounds like whatever was there was trying to have a little bit of fun with them. Again, nothing malicious, but great story. And I can't wait to hear the other story he said that he's got to tell where something looked like his aunt. That'll be interesting, too.
I can't wait till AI gets to the point where it's very transient and you can start. It'll just like start talking to you when you're not even asking for it. It's like, hey, you there? I just wanted
to. Do we want that?
No, we don't. But people are going to start thinking it's like a ghost. That's what I'm getting at is like they heard these voices and it's going to confuse a lot of older people. It'll confuse the shit out of me still too, I think, for a long time, but, I think we're like a step or two away.
You know, what's really weird about that is like people will, you learn about AI and it's becoming very, very, I guess, smart is the way to put it. It's yep. able to do a lot of things in a very short period of time. AI was pretty, you know, just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And what blows my mind is we can believe in that and we can see that for a use in our lives. But we're still against believing in ghosts and spirits. Like, it's like, okay, did you ever think computers were going to come as far as they have and we'd have AI talking to us and all that? That was like, I mean, I sat and watched The Twilight Zone this weekend and there was some computer stuff on there and I'm thinking, boy, this is really old school, but man, back then, if those people back then were living today with AI the way it is, it would be a really scary situation for them.
I'm wondering, has anyone used any form of AI to try and communicate with the dead? But then how would you know if it really is that you're communicating if you're like asking it to try and communicate, or would it, you know, I don't know. That could be.
Would AI lie to you and pretend it's communicating?
Yeah. Or would real things start coming through?
You know, I want to start doing some experiments with that.
I'm going to start doing it during our next caller with ChatGPT and see what I come up with. And if I don't come back after the call, it means I'm possessed. So,
well, I'll close off the podcast and say goodnight, everybody, and that'll be it.
Sounds good. Harper will find me my body down here, and she'll get the episode uploaded. So there we go.
At least she knows her part.
Exactly. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, check it out on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of the episodes ad-free in advance and all the bonus stuff there as well. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.